QLG. Channel 4 QLG and 0TR. And 0TR, clear.
109 KG4 PFI.
I'm telling you, you sound like that bass singer from Alabama. I can't resist that voice. Ain't that right, Bernice? good evening, Don. How you doing?
Wouldn't fell off yet. I'm still here in one piece. How about yourself?
A good report from the urgent care today that my pills are working that they give me for a UTI, so I've been pretty happy. We've been outside quite a bit today, which really makes you feel better. And, I just thought I'd give Chris a holler and see if he was around. But I'm glad you come on. I hadn't heard you in a while. I just sit down to the HF rig here, and Bernice is watching Highway to Hell. It's about these record services up there in the far north. We kind of enjoy it, by golly. And it sure beats the State of the Union.
Oh, me. I never know what you're going to say. Yeah, we didn't do anything much today either. We did go down to a grocery store and bought some stuff and kind of wandered around. It was a pretty day, but we did stop by and get a little Pete's down here in Piedmont and bought some hot dogs. I had a yearning for a hot dog, so bought my wife a couple, me a couple, and I consumed them things with the gusto of a hound dog.
Boy, they can gobble those weenies up, can't they? My bird dog, she just swallowed a hole almost. Well, we had pork tenderloin, mashed potatoes and gravy, and green beans one month for supper, and a big glass of milk. We got 11 eggs today. Went out and done that, and fed and watered them so that they'll be peaked out so we don't have to go out there in the rain. And what else we do, Mom? We went to Wally World, picked up that prescription for 3 more days is all. And bought a couple of sugar donuts there that they had. They're just a regular donut with a little sugar on them. They said I couldn't have any caffeine, but that just ain't going to fly. I told her I'd get the DTs and go into shock if I couldn't have a cup of coffee. Oh, you're not supposed to drink that when you got a urinary tract infection. Okay, I lied, Don.
We all do that from time to time, but I don't drink caffeine coffee. I drink caffeine-free coffee, decaf. I'm not a big coffee drinker anyway, but if I drink it with the caffeine in it, you know, regular coffee, it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Well, I never drank coffee till I was 40 years old, and now it's my drug of choice, the only drug that I ever really care about. But it don't bother me. Bernice don't make it real strong. When the kids come home, Shelly spent a lot of time in Austria and Germany. I just don't drink that. But of a morning, I'll have one when I first get up, and an oatmeal cookie or something, just for a homemade one that Bernice made. And then for breakfast, I'll usually drink another half a cup. Then in the afternoon, I might drink a cup, maybe. But other than that, I don't sit there and drink 3 or 4 cups at a time. But my nephew's a medical scientist, our nephew. And he says that caffeine keeps your cells going longer than what they're supposed to. And he's not in favor of it either. But he told me that about 30 years ago when he was going to college. So I don't know if that's changed or not, Don.
It's in 0TR. You know, you're talking about that coffee. I saw a thing on TV. Of course, it was a comedy thing. And The guy said that the coffee was so strong that he had to take a pair of scissors with him to, when he started pouring it, when it got up almost full, he had to cut it with the scissors to get it to quit.
Well, I know caffeine can affect people, that's for sure. If I just stop cold turkey, I'd get a headache. And I never have headaches anymore. I used to when I was a kid, especially sinus headaches. But I don't just abruptly stop it. And we just polished off a piece of homemade pumpkin pie with a little whipped cream on top. And I'm sitting here drinking a ginger ale, just waiting on the net to start tonight. I don't know who's got it tonight, Don.
Sir, but I wouldn't eat that pumpkin pie now. That stuff's bad news. You know what it'll do to you? It makes you run rabbits and bark at the moon.
You got Bernice giggling over there, don't you? That's not what it does to me, but you was right about the runs. it works real good for medicinal purposes, shall we say. I could go up there and eat another piece of that pumpkin pie. She makes the best pumpkin pie in the world. Our grandson, they live about 14 miles south of us there. They're still in Greer, but south of 14 in Pelham. And Jordan, well, tell his other grandmother, you know, I want Grandma's pumpkin pie, and Grandma Rouse's pumpkin pie, and nobody else's. I don't even think he eats Amy's, does he? I don't know. I don't know. Bernice has a secret to it, a lot of it, and she's a real chef, but is Aldi's pumpkin. And we've tried different kinds, and it's just fantastic is all I can say about it.
Okay. Yeah, I never was a big fool on pumpkin pies, but my mom used to make them from time to time, and they're all right, I guess, but I like chocolate pie, I like that, but everybody's got their own thing that they like better than anything else. By the way, this radio that I'm talking on is not my regular radio. This is one I had down in the shop that been down there for years, and never did hardly ever turn it on down there. But it must be working because me and you is communicating with each other.
Fantastic. Full quieting, good, very good voice tone. This is just an old Icom 208. It's nothing fancy here. And I put a little digital meter on it here. There's 13.6 volts on it. And you couldn't do any better, Don. You're sounding great. I don't know how many watts you're running, but it usually don't take a whole lot on this repeater.
Well, Icom 2100, it's a... I had an Icom MKG2 706, and I sold it to AK, and in a way, I wish I hadn't. Of course, AK passed away, and then somebody else bought it from his wife. But it was a good radio. I bought it from AK years ago, and then I ran it for I don't know how many years, and then I decided I was going to get something else. But the one that kind of started giving me trouble was a V8000, and it's an Icom also, but it wasn't giving me too much trouble. It just quit receiving every once in a while, and you turn it off, turn it back on, and it start receiving again. So I don't know. I got kind of aggravated at it, so I took it out.
I'm not that good of RF person. I did electronics and electricity and industrial, and I've studied the RF and all of that, and I'll tell you about the circuitry, but I just wonder if it's a TR relay, if they still take a transistor and drive a printed circuit board relay, and if maybe that was sticking on you.
For ID, I just thought I'd throw that in there. Yeah, when it comes to radios, I know how to turn them on and turn them off and plug them up, and that's about it.
Well, I worked in a TV shop for a while when I was in the hospital and recuperating. They asked me if I mind helping, and I said no. I did lung surgery. And, it was inexperienced. There was a real nice first-class petty officer in there, and he was a tweet, E.T., and, or A.T., actually. And I'll never forget him, but I learned quite a bit about it, and then I took some courses on it. But I was going to go into repairing VCRs one time, and I'm not a very mechanical person. I got to looking at that sucker. I went to school in Kansas City for it, and there's a lot of mechanics in those old things. That wouldn't have been a very good career now, looking back on it, Doc. It's an old TR.
Always been, I guess, I'm mechanical minded. I was took my dad's lawnmower apart when I was about 10 years old, and I mean apart. I took pistons out, crankshaft, the whole works, and put it all back together, and it wouldn't run because I didn't time it right. They said a little timing marks on some of the gears in there that you gotta made them up to make it work right. But after that, I didn't want to go back in the work in a mill. My dad and mom worked in the textile mill, and I just up and joined the Air Force, and they sent me to jet engine school, and that's what I did in the service. I worked on jet engines. I worked on the old B-47 and the B-52 engine and a few other airplane engines, and I always tinkered around with something, and then I got out. I wound up as a maintenance supervisor for a company over here on the base, so I've always tinkered with stuff, do a little plumbing, a little electrical, and mostly just my own stuff. I don't like working on other people's stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's commendable. Not everybody works on jet engines, I'm sure. And the metallurgy and stuff in those is incredible. I had a guy I knew in boot camp, and I asked him what he was going to do. He was in the rack next to me. Well, I'm going to be a jet mechanic. And about halfway through boot camp, the company commander called him in and told him this wasn't going to happen because he lived in New Mexico, as I remember, Don, and he went for a joyride with some guys in a stolen car, and they got caught. And in order to work on jet engines, you had to have a secret clearance. And that kind of surprised me. But then I got to thinking about it. It probably is pretty secretive, you know.
It was. When I was there in the U-2 was a spy. Is I don't know if they still flying that thing or not, but it was a spy plane. And we had one of them that landed on our base. I was stationed on a SAC base, Strategic Air Command base. And that, well, the engine on that U-2 was the same engine that's on the B-52. So, and it's a Pratt & Whitney J-57 is what it was. But we went over there, me and another guy went over there to work on it, and they had two guards standing there with guns watching everything we did on that engine because they didn't want us monkeying with anything on that thing other than that.
Yeah, I remember those wheels out on the ends of the wings and that, and they were super secretive. I've never seen one in person. I think they've had them up at Oshkosh at the big air show. But when I was a little boy, about 1959, 1960, along that area, I'd go out and visit my aunt and uncle in Wichita for a week in Kansas, and McConnell Air Force Base was there, and there was a B-47 or a B-52 in the air, just multiple ones, one after another, just doing touch and goes, and they manufactured them there. But I was just thrilled to death, and I still got some pictures I took with my Kodak Instamatic camera. the good old days. Yeah, back then when they, a lot of them, and I got a picture of it, it's a slide I took with that little camera, and they had fluorescent orange on the nose, on the wing some, and on the tips of the vertical stabilizer. And people, they don't want to believe that, but I swear to God, that's the truth, and I can prove it. I got the picture. Anyways, Don, nice talking to you, and holler anytime. I usually holler for Chris a little bit early, but see how he's doing up there in the north. Take care, Don. KG4PFI in 0TR73.
We'll talk again, I hope. This is getting close to net time, so I'm going to get out of here and get out of the way. But I always enjoy talking with you. I really do. Take care of yourself, 73s, and all that caring and carrying on, and whatever you, whatever you want to call it. This is KG4PFI. I'm clear.